this is posted this on the website today on the Azure Norris. Let's pray first. George, you want to pray for me? Amen. And I'll just quote, read this to you. It said, Christ begins with the goal and places his disciples at once in a position to which all other teachers point as the end. Religion and the law always begins with demanding, but life in Christ always begins by bestowing. There. This is John 19. In John 19, as Jesus was on the cross, he says in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, verse 28 will help even understand a little bit better why he said that. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in other words, God's justice had been satisfied. What he came to do in his death had been accomplished. There was more to be done in his resurrection, but all the things in terms of reconciliation between God and man. And then Jesus said, it is finished. The words, it is finished, means completed or fulfilled. People have said it means the word paid in full. It was used at times to post where a debt's been paid, but it was used in other avenues, other venues than just that. But it means completed or fulfilled or perfect. And here, it's written in a grammatical way where, again, it says, Jesus is saying, everything's perfect now, and it's done completely. And yet, it'll be continually realized and manifested. You with me? It's completed, it's done, but it'll be continually manifested. So, from the cross, if you look at it from this way, Jesus is if, on the cross, Jesus, having said everything's already been accomplished, Jesus simply, as if he looked around at everything and said, perfect. Perfect. Now what, that's such a significant word from the position of the cross, which is the apex of all human history. And what Jesus is speaking that word is over all of us and over all creation. And what he's basically saying is everything humans who embrace me, of course, they're the only ones who get to experience him, but all of humanity and all the world has been seated with new creation. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ was an announcement, I think I said this Sunday, the strongest claim of the New Testament is that Jesus' death and his resurrection was announcing the birth of a whole new world and a whole new humanity. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, it says this, and those of you who hung in there with the Colossians study, it says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through Jesus, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So what Jesus did from the cross, Jesus said, perfect. The curse is now in reverse. And I've seated all of humanity. One day, we'll get a new body, and that process will be completed, and we'll get a new heavens and new earth. But the seed of new creation was planted in the finished work of Christ. He's actually already done it. We're just now seeing that in a time, process of time, that which has been accomplished in eternity being worked out experientially. 2 Corinthians. And there's so much more I could say about that, but our time limits us. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. He said, concluding this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And the truth is that Jesus Christ, we've said this CTKers many times over the years, that he took in his person corporate humanity, guilty corporate humanity. And he took corporate humanity to the place of punishment, to the place of execution of the cross, so that corporate humanity's sin was paid for. It had to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. And so God so loved the world, though, it broke his heart. And there's probably a lot better theological term than using that. But it was so unbearable for the thought of God, for humanity, which he so loves, God so loved the world, lost and saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That God in his love came up with this amazingly unbelievable and totally unselfish plan, selfless plan, that he would step out of eternity into time in the person of Jesus, and that Jesus would represent all of us, and that he would die on that cross for us and as us, as if we did pay for our sins, but we didn't have to suffer it. Jesus actually did it on our behalf. Therefore, if he died for all, he says, therefore in him all died. Alrighty? And so the death of Christ included potentially all humanity. And I read to you from Colossians that heavens and the earth themselves, there was a cleansing. And so from the cross, as Jesus looked out, I mean, what a weapon. You see, people will say the enemy did everything to drive Jesus to the cross. I don't think so at all. I think he did everything he could to stop Jesus from going to the cross, even to kill him before he got to the cross. Because he knew. He knew what was coming. He has a better theologian than most of us are. He was the highest ranking angel at one time in heaven. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. I think all the angels in heaven, they saw, after the fall, they saw God's plan. And he did everything he can to stop that. Because from that place of the cross, all history changed. And Jesus said, it's perfect. Perfect. I don't know if you like to watch movies. One of my movies I like to watch, I don't know why, is the movie The Last Samurai. At the end of the movie, The Last Samurai, when the guy, Katsumoto, whatever his name is dying, he's been wounded about 4,000 times and he's dying. And then as he's dying, he kind of has this vision of all these cherry blossoms and everything's kind of like, and he goes, perfect. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. Having accomplished everything, just before he gave up his spirit, he said, perfect. Now, understanding that, let's make it practical for us personally, because we've looked at the big picture of the whole world. Jesus is saying that now, for those who do embrace him, this verse says, he died for all that they who live, only those who appropriate Christ's death for them come alive. It's potentially there for every person, but only those who receive Jesus become people who are in Christ, who live. And when Jesus looks at you and me, he also says, let's just make it personal. Jesus said, perfect. Perfect. I've changed the course of their history. And the moment you become a Christian, that which Jesus says about you, perfect, becomes a reality to you. That you've been perfected in ability because you're in Christ. perfected in anointing and gifts, perfectly equipped, perfect in standing in his eyes. That Song of Solomon verse, you're altogether beautiful and there's no spot or blemish in you, even in our weakness and, quote, imperfection. He sees us as righteous in him. And he sees us as perfectly equipped to be what he called us to be. Again, Jesus' death on the cross accomplished two things. One, he paid for guilty sinners' condemnation. But there was something else that needed to be done. Something needed to be done about humanity itself. Because if all he did was pay for our sins, and then the moment you became a Christian, you got a new start, and you didn't change, you'd end up right back where you were eventually anyway, in terms of the kind of mess you made out of your life. So Jesus didn't just pay for our condemnation. We were guilty. We didn't just take us into the cross and in him our sins were paid for, the penalty paid for him. He did something about humanity. And he took to the cross the old person that you once were. So that when you come to him, if you give your life to him, you become a totally new self. And that new self has been perfectly equipped. Perfectly equipped to live life in a way that brings glory to him. You with me? Now, let me read you a couple of things. And for some of you, this will mean even more than others because there's a little thing we've been having to deal with. But this is 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Listen to this. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills. Self-effort just kills. But the Spirit gives life constantly. Because you're in Christ, you can't ever look at any situation and any circumstance and any responsibility or any relationship and agree with the truth by saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this. I can't forgive. I can't whatever. I can't, these kids, they're driving me crazy. I can't. Because that's not true about you. From the cross, Jesus looked at you. Let's just say he looked from the cross, not just potentially, but saw you in him. And he went, perfect. Perfectly equipped. Perfectly anointed, perfectly enabled to do his will in a way that brings glory to him, to be Christ-like. It's really important if you understand that. Because that's the truth about you. And faith is being in agreement with what God says is true. Right? But here's some verses I want you to hear. This is Hebrews 10, 14. For by one offering, his crucifixion, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Now there's a little bit of a teaching out there, and it comes around the body of Christ about every 3 or 4 decades. It's an unfortunate era. And by sincere people, that the idea is that sanctification is not a process. That when you became a Christian, you were made holy, you were sanctified, and that's it. But that's not what the Bible says. Now, it does say that you were perfected for all time. Because you see, our perfection is in the person of Jesus. He's our ability, our adequacy. Not that we're adequate of ourselves to think of anything of ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Now that we are adequate because we're in Christ. You are adequate to be the husband you're called to be. You're adequate to be the wife you're called to be because you have his adequacy. Perfect. He didn't leave you ill-equipped. There's no parts missing. You don't need anything else. You don't need more. You may need to break through into believing what you already have, but you already have him and you can't get more of him. But this verse in Hebrews It says, for by one offering he has perfected, that's obviously past tense, for all time, I'm going to read it to you the way it should be written in the grammar, for all time, those who are in the process of being sanctified. Because sanctification is us taking it out for a spin every day, what we have in Christ, and growing in it. A little toddler, my grandchildren aren't going to get more eyes. They're not going to get more DNA in their ears. They're not going to get, but they're going to grow into all that and learn how to be more human as they get older. Know how to be more useful, be more productive. That's the sanctification. Like I said the day at Eucharist, it's not that you get more, it's just that the more you already got gets more of you as you learn to walk in faith and surrender. But Christians who give up on things, Christians who give up on each other, Christians who give up on stuff, that's just such a sad, unfortunate reality. Because he looked at you and he said, perfect. There's nothing lacking. There's no parts missing. This is another good verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, that's what he's talking to Christians here. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Is every Christian born into the kingdom of God with perfect holiness? Yes. But is it perfected in your experience yet? No. You walk it out every day. But you have all the equipment. You've been perfected with all the ability. You've been fully equipped. Perfect. He's seated you with new creation. But we have to walk it out. All right? Now, this is where the parts, for me, gets more practical for all of you. Where this thing is walked out, the canvas of our lives, is just in the practical stuff that make up life. Listen to Philippians 4. This is 10 through 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last, speaking to the Philippians, you have revived your concern for me. In other words, they were sowing into his life. They were helping him out with Paul, sowing in financially. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity to help. Not that I speak from missing out. That's what that word literally means. Not that I speak from want. Not that I speak from I feel like I've been missing out on something. Or I'm being left out. Or being left behind. So many Christians who Jesus has looked at and said, you've been perfected for this. You've been equipped for this. For whatever it is, we walk out the will of God looks like in our lives. And yet we find ourselves in things that make up life that doesn't seem to be as exciting as other people do. And we somehow feel left out. Or left behind. See, you are perfected to do God's will for your life. Not to do what you would like somebody else's will for their life. And if God wants you to do what they're doing, just walk out today. You can experience the perfection that's in Christ today by daydreaming that you were somewhere else or with someone else or doing something else or wishing you had something bigger. How many Christians do I hear waste time daydreaming that they're finally going to come into the big thing that God's called them to be? You're called to be in Christ. That's the biggest thing you'll ever be. And no matter what you do down the road, it's not more impressive to God. It will not bring more happiness and meaning to you than your abiding in Christ in the moment that you're in right now. Now, Paul is saying this to the Philippians. Where is he? Physically. Imprisoned. Under house arrest. And you're talking about a do-nothing job and a do-nothing ministry. And if he had griped and complained about what he was doing, he would have missed the opportunity to share the gospel with all those people who were responsible for him, the Praetorian Guard of Caesar's household, who resulted in senators and important people getting saved because Paul didn't have an attitude that he was somehow being left out. If you're in Christ, you can't be left out. And not one single moment by the nature of the activity defines it as more important than this moment. You're in Christ. Perfect. And I believe when Jesus said that, he was speaking of all those things. We're in Christ. Perfect. Perfectly equipped. Perfect moment. Perfect will. That's why he says that we are to... He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you can prove, you'll prove out in your own life, through your surrender, through renewing your mind, that God's will is good and it's perfect and acceptable. But not if you feel like you've been left out all the time. Not that I speak from feeling left out. For I have learned, listen to the language, I learned to be content. The word here is the word, it comes from two words, self-sufficient. Now, but hear the whole verses, because that sounds like self-effort. For I have learned to be self-sufficient in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. I know how to have a little ministry. I know how to have what the world calls a big ministry. I know what it is to do things where people recognize me. I know how to do things where nobody pays attention to me and I'm doing all the dirty work behind the scenes. I know how to be content or self-sufficient when I'm speaking to a large crowd. And I know how to not feel like I'm being left out when I'm sweeping the floor. Because you've been perfected for this moment. You've been perfectly equipped to speak to the crowd if that's God's will for you in that moment, or to sweep the floor where nobody notices it. I know how to get along with humble means, also how to live in prosperity. And in every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, having an abundance and suffering need, for I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. You're perfect. Everything's perfect for you to do the next thing that's in front of you in victory. With a peace that passes understanding and in a joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's part of the renewing of your mind. We're going to talk about this Sunday. See, because when Christ, who's your life, is revealed, if it's sweeping the floor of preaching the sermon, then you'll be revealed with Him in glory. You'll get to experience His glory. And then this really, one that we were out here and looked at a lot, I just wanted to see it briefly again, John 13. I mean, at the beginning of this amazing upper room discourse, in the stories of all these miracles and signs and wonders, it says this, Jesus puts this story in there for a number of reasons, but one of them is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Verse 1 of John 13, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given, perfect, all things already into His hands, and that He had come forth from God, and that He was going back to God. Now, let me listen to this. Here in Christ, Jesus said He was in the Father, the Father was in Him. Jesus was perfectly equipped for everything He walked into. Because the Father had already given all things in His hands. It said in John 16 that all things that the Father had were His. Jesus lived the Christian life by the Holy Spirit, allowing the Father to live His life through Him. And Jesus believed that everything that he faced, he had already been perfectly equipped for it in the Father, by the Father's life in him. And that he had come forth from God, and so he believed that whatever he was doing, he was being sent to do and perfectly equipped to do it. And besides that, it was going to be transit anyway because he was going back to God. We're just passing through here, folks. I don't want to go back to God and look down and go, man, I just gripe and complain about that one. Because I can't go back and do it over again. And everything we do is before His eyes. Right? I love those scriptures. And so what did Jesus do? Making this grandiose statement. Knowing that the Father had already, knowing, He knew. Do you know? Do you know? Do you hear from the cross Jesus says about you? Perfect. Perfect. Whew, it's perfect. But what comes out of our mess all the time? Man, things are out of control. It's a mess. I hate this. Terrible. I can't deal with it anymore. It's just too hard. I want to change so I can be happier. Really? Is that what's going to make you happier? Or is it the fact that He's perfected you in Christ and He's sent you in where you find yourself in? Now, I'm not talking about if something happens outside of God's will. Understand? If you work for a job and they're telling you guys to start stealing from the bank, you know, you make a move, you do whatever. But the average stuff of life, we're so discontented because we don't live our life from the fact that we're in Christ. And He's doing it just perfect, and He's perfected me in His ability to do this. I think of young mothers. Oh my gosh. I think of like Woody and Kristen, four little boys. 7 years old and younger. And when I go to their house, it's just chaos. There's never not a fight going on. Never. Ever. Unless they're sleeping. And then they're dreaming about it. How do you live that out? Do you want to escape? Feel like I'm being left out? I'm being left behind? Oh, one day they'll all grow up and I finally get to fulfill my vision. My destiny will be finally fulfilled. Perfect. So having made this grandiose statement that he already knew that Father had given everything in his hands, he had come forth from God, so he was on a mission. He was living out predestiny. He was living out, it wasn't just haphazard things. He was living under the sovereign rule of his Father. He was going to go back there. This is just a transit thing anyway. This is like one little micro, midget, minuscule moment of our life in eternity. But so making all those statements, then the next thing should have been, and so he raised 50,000 people from the dead. No, he got down his hands and knees and washed some guys' feet. It says, verse 1, he loved his own who were in the world. I mean, they were in the world. They were messy. They were the four kids under seven. They were the whatever. They were your circumstances and the people you work with or work for or work under you. They're the stuff going on at home. There's a taking care of the sick mother or sick mother-in-law. It's the bedpans. It's the diapers. It's the life. It's the taxes. It's the details. It's the letters you write. You see, because the point being here in the scripture is that you need to know that the Father is, that Jesus has given all things in your hands. You need to know that you are fully equipped in Christ to do the little things that make up our life. Because you see, I went to Africa and I saw a lady get her totally deaf, get healed, all sorts of cool stuff. You know, go to Brazil, yada, yada, yada. But when I come home, I still have a wife who can't walk. And if I can only believe God for, quote, the big things, well, you see, there's nothing gets bigger than that. And I have to know that I have everything in Christ. It's perfect. From the cross, he saw me in that situation and went, perfect. He didn't have to fail here. He didn't have to live in defeat here. He didn't have to let sin control him. Sam and I were talking before church a little bit. Jesus didn't annihilate sin's pull. But when you died on the cross, he annihilated sin's rule. See, because the person that used to be the depressed person, the anxious person, the fearful person, that person died on the cross. Now, in your humanity that's not yet fully redeemed yet, you haven't seen its manifestation yet, there's a law sitting there, so you may get pulled at, but you have a much bigger power. There's a much greater law, the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus is your life. Jesus won your victory on the cross. He looked at every temptation you'd ever face all your life. He went, perfect. And so the way we walk it out is as things pull at us, we just do what? Jesus has already said it's perfect, perfect tense, completed action with continual present tense manifested results. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you for being the victory in me right now that you've already accomplished. Perfecting in my experience what you've already said is perfect. I have perfect victory over those things. By faith, I simply look to him, I'm in Christ, to manifest that which has been perfected, and that I grow in holiness experientially. You with me? But if I'm griping, or I'm looking for some future thing out there that's going to be finally big and fulfill my destiny, you know, what if was Jesus' destiny just fulfilled the last 3.5 years? What if you had spent 30 years anxious and frustrated and feel like a failure? Because he'd been to some charismatic conference and they told him he wasn't a world changer yet. So 30 out of 33 and a half years, he was just a big failure. No. I don't want to... I was up with Olivia this morning at 3, from 3 till 3:45. I've never done anything bigger than that. See, what a teacher can happen to a teacher, because I've walked with clergy a lot, like when I first got here, not just a few of you, and now what if these thoughts came up in me and said, man, I'd like to have a bigger group. I mean, I think I'm an anointed teacher. It'd be nice to have more people care, want to hear. Now, you may hear that in different contexts of your life. I wish I worked at a bigger hospital. I wish I had a better job. I wish I got more money, whatever. You know, yada, yada. But you know what? That insecure, prideful Chuck died on the cross. I'm in Christ. And Jesus enjoys teaching whatever he wants to enjoy teaching. And it's been perfectly set up for me in Christ to teach whether it's 1 or 2,000. It's not my business. Right? So what? The more I've already got, the way I get to experience it is by the yes I say to him and the thank you. And then the more I've already got gets more of me. And the next time you get tempted with those same thoughts, it's easier. Because you've already experienced glory once in that situation. And you go, well, wow. Why does it feel so depressed? I'm so sorry. But the depressed person controlled by depression died on a cross. It's not who you are anymore. You've been perfected. Now, perfect your perfection. Walk it out. And you shall know the truth. And then what happens when you know the truth? It'll set you free. Never wait to get set free than to believe, oh yeah, that's the truth. And that's what we do. If I just felt better, then I would know it was true. Now walk in the truth, and everything else will come in line. If you walk in the truth of who you are in Christ, freedom always follows. Truth doesn't follow freedom. That's sort of a charismatic thing. oh, I get hit, I get zapped, I'm rolling around the floor, I just feel so free. And then 3 weeks later, they're not. What happened? Well, I got to get zapped again. And you got zapped the moment you got saved. Jesus zapped you at the cross. He said, perfect, perfect, it's finished, perfect. I've seated that person with everything necessary for a new creation. They are a new creation. Now, they just walk out the truth. It'll manifest itself. And then feelings become your slave and not your master. Now, so CTKers, you're getting a little preview of what renewing your mind means. So we read a few verses, then we'll stop. This is a quote by a guy named Chesterton. He was an Orthodox theologian, neat guy. He said, I would maintain that giving thanks for the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness that's been doubled by wonder. So I want to make this real practical to you. If it's true that Jesus looks at your life and your thing and he goes, perfect. And yet you and I are always thinking that we're wanting, we're lacking, we don't have enough, it's not good enough, it's not big enough, I'm not adequate for. Those are all lies. And that's what you're going to manifest. What you see and hear is what you bear witness of, and what you bear witness of is what you manifest. So what do you see and hear? Do you see and hear who you are in Christ, what he says is true about you? I could give a roasted ear of corn how I feel. I can't trust those things. They're part of this humanity, and they've been affected by the disease of the fall. So let me just hear these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Well, if what's true is true, that he's looked at you and said, perfect, then rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:17-20. I love it. So don't be foolish and understand what God's will is. Don't be controlled by alcohol. That is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit continually. Speaking to one, and this is, I believe, this is what he says. Be filled with the Holy Spirit continually, and then he kind of gives you a key in how to walk, how that happens. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, instead of griping and complaining and worrying. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for all things. Not just in all things, but for all things. It may be warfare, it may be a battle, it may be stuff, but you can look beyond that. Remember who you are in Christ, perfected in Christ, and just give thanks in that. That you are fully equipped for this. For the warfare, for the battle, for the praying for the sick, for loving the husband, the wife, the kids, the whatever, doing the job again. You see, there's nothing mundane about the presence of the Lord. Boredom is a refusal to celebrate who you are in Christ. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let me just say this to you. It'll never get any better than it is right now for you. Now, I'm not talking about your circumstances, like that things may change, but you'll never have a better opportunity to know the joy of the Lord, glory, than right now. Will you believe in Christ? He's not threatened by your situation and circumstances. It's not overwhelming to him. That person in you that can't forgive anymore, that person died on the cross. You're in Christ. You would just be stunned at his capacity to forgive. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. If you're being built up in Christ, I don't mean that you're just like growing as a believer. I mean, if you're being built up in knowing who you are in Christ, you're going to live over with overflowing gratitude. Then this last one, we'll quit. It's Colossians 3:15. We did this in Colossians a while back. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be always thankful. Let the word of Christ, which we dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, preach to the thousands, raise the dead, mop the floor, change the diaper. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, do everything out of your union with Him. Out of your union with Him. You have His name as if you were Him. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Is it me? Is it Him? Is it Him? Is it me? Yes, 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 yes. Do everything you do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. That's a weird word. What do you mean, giving thanks through Him? How do I give thanks through Him? Because you're in Him. And it's out of that place of union with Him that you give thanks in everything you do, in word or deed. You get that? Giving thanks through Him. Every reality, every situation, every circumstance, every pressure, every temptation, every opportunity, every responsibility has to be filtered through the reality that Jesus said, perfect, because you'll be in me and I'll be in you. Because of my finished work, because you've been crucified with me, buried and raised up a new creation in me and you. For the death that he died to sin once, but the life that he lives, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ. Jesus, our Lord. Giving thanks through Him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's through your union with Him that it changes, it filters. Every reality looks different. I'm going to go to Wendy's. We're not doing Taco Bell tonight. Leaving no one Taco Bell. She wants to do baked potatoes. But I have to hear the deal. I'm going to be in Christ. I'm going to go to Wendy's. But I'm going to do everything in the name of the Lord, in word or deed, with thankfulness through Him. Or I could complain. I want to get home. I've been gone all day. I never go home. I want to get yada, yada. What if the line is long at Wendy's? I can sit there and go, grunt. Jesus is going, perfect. You're in me, and I've set it up perfectly for you. You're perfectly equipped to abide in me in this line. So just be thankful. Okay? Comprende? That's what I used to say to my kids all the time. Comprende? Get it? I just think that's fun stuff. Amen? So I know it's kind of bouncing back and forth, but there's a bunch of stuff bouncing back and forth in my head. But I think there are some practical things for all of us. Alrighty. Lord, cause your word to do what your word does. Truth, set us free. Into your finished work, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okie dokie.